Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
If you're a fantasy football player this week, your calibration is off just a little bit. Instead of making waiver wire selections, waiting for tomorrow morning, open up your phone like it's Christmas. No, you've got to wait another day. We've got the conclusion of Week 12 tomorrow, and needless to say, it's been a year unlike any other in fantasy football. Here to help us navigate through the waters, it's Jeff Erickson, senior editor, rotowire.com, joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Jeff, appreciate your time as always. How you been?
I'm doing well, and you're right, it is a bizarre week. I'm working on my Week 13 rankings, and Week 12 isn't even done yet.
Yeah, I mean, how do you know a lot of people that actually have kept their Steeler players in the lineup? A lot of commissioners. What's the best way to manage this situation moving forward?
Well, if you're in a standalone league and not a national contest like the NFFC, I think one thing you can do is you had to do this, Friday, or as soon as this became apparent that this was an issue, you could say, okay, I'm starting Benny Snell. But if the game doesn't play, designate player X that's on my bench, and I'll use his stats. You could do that. You make sure, by the way, that if there's a game that's in doubt, you have that player, or you should do this anyhow with any injured player or any late game. Try to force those guys into your flex spot. So say if you have a flex spot, make sure you put the guys at their other positions. So that way you can have late pivots as much as possible. Try to minimize the damage at least.
Well, let's look ahead to Week 13. Jeff, I mean, there's a lot of matchups that are worth exploiting. There's a lot of playoff positions on the line here as the fantasy playoffs are right around the corner for many of us. What has your eye here looking at Week 13? We got a lot of different news and notes from around the league and injuries and suspensions now with Will Fuller, all kinds of stuff. What has your eye more than anything heading into Week 13?
Couple games that are interest to me. Cleveland at Tennessee, that's got the highest total right now on the board that I can see. I like that the Tennessee side of this a little bit because Cleveland's going to be without Ward again, Denzel Ward. I think that's a big loss for them in their secondary. I think that's going to be something that Tennessee can exploit a little bit. Obviously, they're such a better front-running team than they are a trailing team, Tennessee is, and they have to get off to a good start, but you could see once they got that lead against the Colts, it was pretty much all over.
Yeah, the one team that I can't figure out, maybe Jeff, you can help me, the Raiders. That's such a letdown after what you saw. And now, oh, look, another first-round pick. A lot of leagues had Jacobs going in the first round. Josh Jacobs has that ankle injury. So is it serious enough to think that you go make a play for Devontae Booker this week? Because it would be a favorable matchup going against that lowly Jets defense.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's one of those guys, if you had Jacobs, you should have probably been stashing Booker anyhow, because it's pretty clear he was the top backup. There was no doubt that should anything happen to Jacobs, it was going to be Booker. Booker was already getting series as it was. But yeah, I mean, you love this matchup against the Jets. You even like it from the Derek Carr perspective. The Derek Carr perspective, too. Although last week was such a disaster against Atlanta, it's tough to kind of trust. You feel like you've been burned, and it's hard to go back to the well. But the Jets are down their top two corners to begin with, one of which they actually straight up released. The other is put on IR. I mean, this is really a team you should be able to exploit. Now, we'll see what the weather does as we get closer to the weekend and all that. But, he's still a guy you could turn to in emergency. But I like Booker definitely as a guy you could pick up. Jacobs, for his part, did say he is optimistic and that the ankle injury isn't as bad as they initially thought. But I've never seen a player not be more optimistic than cases often merit.
Jeff Erickson, rotowire.com, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Can we talk about a player who was money in the bank for the first part of this season, and ever since his quarterback went down with, like, I don't know, 14, 15 broken ribs, he just hasn't been the same with Taysom Hill behind center. What do you do if you're an Alvin Kamara owner? You have to just kind of grit your teeth and start him every week, don't you?
That's right. You're just grinning and bearing it. But, yeah, Taysom Hill just crushes his value because he takes the ball down and runs. He never dumps off. And that's the thing. And, you know, the thing I was a little surprised is they're not running more plays designed for Kamara. But I think that also might be a function, too, of, you know, he's been dealing with foot injuries the last couple of weeks in practice. Maybe it's just a case that they're kind of preserving him. And let's face it, that game against the Broncos was a glorified scrimmage. They didn't need to use him a whole lot there. So that might be one of the reasons why you didn't see him get that many quality targets. Not much the week before either, though. And that was a game that was more in contention.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, as we're kind of looking at what our waiver, what normally Tuesday night is waiver wire night, not tonight, but we can certainly prep for after the game tomorrow. Jeff, I drafted Cam Akers in more than one league, and in more than one league, I let Cam Akers go thinking this isn't going to happen. Now all of a sudden it looked like it might be. How would you assess the running back situation with the LA Rams?
Pain. That's how I'd assess it. It's terrible. Every week, I've had the discomfort of being a Darrell Henderson manager there. I do not, you know, it's really difficult to deal with that there on a week-to-week basis. Now, Akers got more snaps in the second half last week, and that might be your sign. But most of his production was on one run. He had that 61-yard run. Other than that, he was 8 for 23. Did get the goal line carry. Maybe that also is a function of Malcolm Brown fumbling earlier in the game. But it's going to change every week. I have no confidence that he's going to be the guy week in, week out, at least not, you know, absent an injury to one of the other backs.
Jeff Erickson is a senior editor at rotowire.com, talking some fantasy football now in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Jeff, did the New England Patriots figure out Kyler Murray, or is that shoulder really bothering him? We didn't see the kind of production out of Kyler Murray that we've become accustomed to.
I think it's more the latter. He's choosing not to run as much. And when he does run, sometimes he gives himself up a little earlier. There's a 3rd and 10 scramble where he went down without contact about 2 yards before the line of scrimmage. There was, like, traffic in front of him, but, you know, I think it was pretty clear that he's not the same player right now. I think it's also affecting his throwing a little bit, too. And let's face it, the Rams are not exactly the team to get well against either. I'm worried about this game.
It's so strange that we're going to, you know, see the Steelers tomorrow, and then we get them Monday afternoon Eastern time, 5 o'clock. And what do we know about James Conner and his potential? We know he's not playing tomorrow, but I'm looking ahead to that matchup against Washington. And might that be a opportunity? Because, there might be a Benny Snell or maybe a McFarland available. So how would you assess that situation? I guess it all determines we need to learn more about James Conner's status, correct?
Right. And, you know, it's not like they're forthcoming exactly. Like, does he have symptoms? You know, what's the scale? I know we saw, like, with Baltimore, you know, we actually benched our Baltimore running back this, you know, whether it was Dobbins or Ingram, or tried to start Gus Edwards, and now it's potential to start all three could be active in this game for this week. Same thing could apply to Connor, too. We don't really know what the status is, and that's the tricky part. The good news is, with no Thursday game, we'll have time to figure this out. I doubt it gets all the way down to the wire on Monday. I think we'll have a pretty good idea going into the weekend on Connor's status.
Jeff, I know that the fantasy playoffs are right around the corner for most leagues, but there are players that are, let's face it, they're eliminated. They're not going to make it into the postseason, and they're already looking ahead to 2021. And I think when we analyze football and look at some of these teams, sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves. Like, I think a lot of people were really high on Cleveland going into last season, and it turns out you were probably a year ahead of yourself, where Cleveland now looks like they're beating up on some inferior opponents, and they're going to be a playoff team. Are there players specifically this year that you could think of that we might have been a year ahead of? Like, off the top of my head, Clyde Edwards-Helaire feels like a player that we're just a year ahead of ourselves. That next season, that's the season that guy is going to explode.
Virtually all of the rookie running backs, I feel like that way. I think that's definitely the case with Akers, definitely the case with Dobbins. You know, one guy that's kind of converting right now, at least, is Antonio Gibson. He's gotten that run lately. You know, Swift had that huge game before the concussion. Yeah, I think a lot of these guys, you know, you got to watch this. The funny thing, though, is I'm not so sure it's the case with Jonathan Taylor. Maybe I'm just, you know, he had a nice game before his positive COVID test, but at the short, in short yardage situations, he hasn't been great, and that might be a function of the blocking scheme a little bit there. Run, you know, they run a little bit of a different scheme at Wisconsin than they do with the Colts, and he's been slow to adjust to that. But I think that's frequently the case. Jalen Reagor is a guy that this year who's done almost nothing and did very little last night. I got to think that situation next year improves, especially on the offensive line. I think that's the thing that's lost so much in the Eagles story is the offensive line has just been decimated, and they you know, it's affected everything that they do.
Yeah, no question there. As we're talking to our friend Jeff Erickson from rotowire.com, as we're thinking about players we might be picking up on the waiver wire as looking ahead to week 13 here. Jeff, sitting at home Thanksgiving, and you know, the trip to Fan hadn't kicked in yet, but I'm like, my gosh, the Lions are actually putting me to sleep. There's Houston. There's that Houston offense that we were all expecting from the get-go, putting up big numbers, and now you have the, you know, the suspension for Fuller coming in. Where do you think those targets in Houston may go? Is Kiki Cutie worth a look? You know, as far as the waiver wire is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he and Gabriel Davis are two of the better wide receiver options this week. And Cutie, I mean, you look at the Colts. Colts really do a good job of defending tight ends. So this particular week, Cutie might be even a better option than in other weeks because they might have to go to the wideouts more frequently. In other weeks, they might pivot to Jordan Akins or, you know, or Darren Fells or Farrell Brown. They've got three of them, which is part of the annoyance of Houston. But, yeah, I think that's another possibility. They might throw to Duke Johnson a little bit more, too. We know he's got the skills to kind of pay the bills as far as the passing game goes. So, you know, we'll see when David Johnson comes back, if and when he comes back from his concussion. That was bad enough to put him on IR. He is eligible this week, so that's another storyline to watch, too.
Jeff, what about players who are looking to stream their quarterback or, you know, Superflex two quarterback leagues? There's a couple of matchups that are intriguing. Would you go to the waiver wire hard for a guy like Fitzpatrick going up against Cincinnati? And although I might not like him as a starter in real football, what about Mitch Trubisky against the Lions getting a second start here after Foles and his injury?
I'd be more aggressive at Trubisky, actually, but in both cases, they're not guaranteed to get the start. You know, in fact, there's a talk that Tua was very close to being active last week, so that's something to watch for. And maybe that's the one bit of good news. Like, for instance, you play in a Yahoo League, often the waivers run overnight, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Well, they're moving them back a day, so at least we'll have a full set of practice reports that we can see, like if Tua does anything in practice on Wednesday. Now, if he does, that's a pretty good sign he could be playing this week. So that's something to watch for pretty closely. But I like Trubisky against the Lions for sure, especially if your alternative is something like Brandon Allen, if you're in a super flex league, or God forbid, Colt McCoy. You know, that Seattle matchup doesn't look as appealing as it did earlier this year.
I'll tell you what, you brought up Philadelphia. That's I like Green Bay going against Philadelphia this week. I guess the question about Alan Lazard, because Alan Lazard, that Sunday night game against New Orleans, putting up big numbers, then he gets hurt, and we just kind of forget about him, let him go. Your thoughts on him being a potential number two or number three receiver on your fantasy team, is that a player worth looking, or is it a situation in Green Bay that you just don't know who's going to be the secondary receiver from week to week, you know, opposite of Davante Adams?
Yeah, I think it will be Lazard. I mean, you saw there were plays where they were kind of counting him on blocking ability too. MVS was on the field for like 58 snaps, I think, but didn't get any targets. It was kind of crazy. But that was also a game flow situation. Let's face it. You know, the Packers were blowing out the Bears, so they ran the ball a lot in the second half. We saw a lot of Jamal Williams, for instance. Yeah, I think that he kind of got game flowed a little bit too. So you might, I think that Lazard has some value. And if you get stuck because you got one of the Bucs receivers this week, or one of the Panthers receivers. Remember, those two teams are off this week. That might be a port in the storm for you.
senior editor at rotowire.com. Jeff Erickson, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Jeff, we're spending a lot of time this week talking about next Monday night's game between the Bills and the Niners. I'm a little bit nervous for the Bills because their weakness on defense is stopping the run. And we know that that's something that San Francisco excels at. What did you see out of Raheem Mostert in his return last week? Do you think he's a high upside play, maybe RB2, high RB2, maybe RB1, flirting with RB1 going into that Monday night game for San Francisco?
Yeah, I think so. I love his speed. And the thing about Mostert is it just takes one play. You know, he's capable of breaking a big one at any given moment. He has that high top-end speed. Yeah, he did have the fumble, which returned for a touchdown, actually, and that's something that, you know, don't love, but at the same time, it brings a dynamic back to this team that they didn't really have with the other backs. And so, yeah, I think that's a big part of it there. Jeff Wilson was also a pretty active part of that game, too. He had 11 carries in that one as well. So, you know, they're getting well, and that sort of thing. They did have another big injury on defense. They keep having that, but they're getting slightly healthier. I think it's one of the better coaching jobs here that they're 5-6 at this point.
Jeff, we want to win our leagues, obviously. Everybody does. And if you don't have Kelce, the tight end from Kansas City, you know, good luck at the tight end position. What would be your advice here? Because the tight end production beyond Kelce has been rather limited this year. Even Waller didn't come up good last week. Kittle maybe comes back in a few weeks. What would be your advice right now as far as good tight ends to play here as we head down the stretch?
Now, you know, you're just trying to find volume. I trust Waller, Hockenson, Goddard for the most part. After that, I mean, it gets pretty thin gruel right away. I mean, you're not even going to have Gronk available to us this week. That's one less guy that we can use. Like Jonnu Smith had a zero last week, but I like him this week. You know, Evan Engram's getting a lot of targets, and he's a better fantasy player than he is a real life player. But, you know, I think he might be an option against Seattle as well.
Jeff, as fantasy football seasons wind down, we look ahead to the postseason. Matchups and schedule matters now more than ever. Are there teams that you're circling? Are there players on those teams that you think can be, you know, you can exploit because they just have fantastic postseason matchups for fantasy's playoffs?
You know, you do have to dig into that. You're looking a couple different ways. You're trying to target like teams that are circling down the drain. Now, like for instance, like Detroit, we talked about them earlier. You want to have your guys run against them, but they might have a dead cat bounce this week after firing Patricia and Matt Patricia. We've seen this with both Atlanta and especially with Houston. You fire a coach, especially if that coach is hated, especially which was the case with O'Brien, and I feel like it's the case with Detroit. I mean, that may not be as fruitful as you might think, but. That's one you're looking at is, you know, you're trying to pile on them a little bit there. You're trying to target the Bengals. You're trying to target Jacksonville. They got a little bit of fight in them. But at the same time, you know, because they've kept some games close, but this is a team that's like put four starters on IR last week. So you definitely want to kind of go after them as well.
Yeah. Any teams you want to avoid altogether? I mean, the Eagles topping the list here, obviously.
Yeah. You want that. Yeah, I mean, you want to try to, you know, one thing that's not looking great is like, you know, Arizona. I mean, they have to face the Rams. You know, Kyler Murray's, we talked about him earlier. He's just not running. He's not doing everything that we'd like to see. And, you know, they get some tough games coming up, too, schedule-wise there. So I think that's a team I'm kind of wary of right now.
Jeff, what do you got working at the site that our listeners can check out here in preparation of fantasy's postseason?
Highly underrated article on our site, a hidden stats article by Jerry Dunn. He does a lot of great work on Mondays and Tuesdays. You'll see that, you know, target share, snap share, route share, all that good stuff. It does one article for backs, another for wide receivers and tight ends. Highly recommend that. You can check out my rankings. Will be up on the site late night tonight, early tomorrow. You can check that all out. Rotowire.com/free. Get your free 10-day trial. Check out everything on the site.
Jeff, always great talking to you. You make us smarter fantasy players. Really appreciate your time today. Thanks.
No problem. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Jeff Erickson, senior editor, rotowire.com, dropping some knowledge for fantasy football. As Week 12 wraps up tomorrow, the weird and rare Thursday to Friday waiver period and Week 13 getting underway on Sunday.
Got a little bit of breaking news here, Danger, and this is going to ease your mind here. the New York Times is reporting that it was not aliens, but four men who dismantled the mysterious shiny object in Utah.
Okay. The monolith.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up, because I have been on monolith watch. Too bizarre how this just shows up out of nowhere.
How does it appear in apparently Monolith 2 has been dismantled.
And the monolith now is no longer in North Romania, where it was discovered?
Correct.
It's not there anymore?
Yeah, so the demolition, according to the New York Times, man-made demolition. It wasn't the aliens coming back to get where they wanted.
Are we not alone, Gene? Where's my X-Files music? Would have been kind of cool to see that, take a picture with it. Wasn't there long enough.
I tell you what, like, if you're in the Utah Board of Tourism, isn't that like how you'd want to kind of get people to come on out and check out the great state
kinda
of
looked
Utah?
Like, yeah, it kind of looked like a cool spot. Like the kind of place that if you're rugged, you would just kind of stumble across it. Or if you're Chevy Chase in Vacation and you're just staggering through the desert, like, oh, a monolith. Thanks for clearing that up, Gino.
No, we're here to pass along news.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thanks to Jeff Erickson, RotoWire, for stopping by the sports bar and giving us some fantasy knowledge in advance of Week 13. And hopefully you've had a good season, and it's going to continue into the fantasy postseason here in the next couple of weeks. Next, NFL appetizers in the sports bar. News and notes from around the league, Gino.
Yeah, so logistics talk here is we'll sort out who's playing when and where and how. Seattle, what did DK Metcalf last night? You're having a big game. Houston, we talked a little bit about with Jeff Erickson, but what's the fallout here with the suspension to Will Fuller, and also more news coming out of Denver.
All right, that's on the way next. NFL appetizers in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.